Hi, everyone. You're listening to In the Open, a podcast by Mental Health America, where we talk all things mental health related.
Hi, everybody. You're here at In the Open, MHA's podcast, and I'm here today with America, who's back from being sick.
Hi, guys. How are you?
And today we're going to talk about another statement topic that we get, but it just dives into a lot of issues. So I think, America, is that we could probably do our best to start talking about this, but I imagine we'll continue to talk about this in other podcasts that we do. And the topic we're going to talk about is I destroy everything. What does it mean when somebody types, I destroy everything? Why do we destroy things? Where does that come from?
I want to understand what you mean by destroying everything, because I think about it and I'm like, destroying stuff. Do I actually destroy stuff? Because I think physical, like me actually like punching a wall or something or throwing crap.
I think that people probably physically destroy things, and then we mentally destroy things. We hurt ourselves emotionally. Some people actually engage in self-harm behaviors, and that's different than when they think about death all the time. A lot of self-sabotage and where that comes from like trauma and insecurities. So I think it can be a lot of things. I think there's a reason why somebody just Googles it, right? Looking for some empathy about there must be other people who also destroy everything in their lives. Or people also say things like, I destroy everything I touch.
It's really hard, though, to think about. There's a point where you have to really look at yourself and just say, am I doing this right? Because you kind of know, but then I don't know if there's a point in the process where you're like, every single relationship that I have is no longer there, right? That's one way. Or is it about me having a really good day in whatever way that means, and then all of a sudden some tiny thing to the rest of the world happens. And to me, it's like this huge thing. And then I'm just like spiral downward because there's no point in making anything else better because it's not good.
The spiral is something I feel like we talk about a lot because, I mean, just the way that our brains work and we like jump to conclusions and we do things. I think that's about the way that we think and the way that spiral is related to mental health. But the first thing you said was I felt like when you were saying that, it was definitely about like the way that we destroy things. You said, oh, how do I look back and be like, how do I know that I destroyed my relationships, you know? And I think that's part of what happens when we realize we've destroyed everything. It's like, for my side, just throwing it out there, having a bunch of relationships where I had to look back and be like, wow, those were so bad because who I chose to date or how I chose to date people or the kinds of relationships I was seeking out or the way I was treating people, maybe I was alone. Either actually alone or felt like I was alone because I was isolating myself and destroying relationships on purpose because trying to be vulnerable and like that's hard work, right? And it's also very scary when you come from a life of trauma. Or on the other side, like even for people I love, like why do I hurt people that I love?
When you say that, what comes to mind for me is this idea of when you're kind of going through your day and everything's good. And I say good, right, with this idea of whatever that means to you. But in my mind, everything's good. Everything's functioning in the way that it's supposed to. And then a comment can be made by somebody that is my family member, whoever. And the way I interpret it might be completely wrong for the situation, right? But for me at that moment, it's just like, are you out of your mind? Like, why would you say that to me? The tone and everything from that person pushes me into this other space that I'm just like, okay, I don't want any more interaction with you. And if you repeat that daily, right, that other person comes to realize like, why am I even talking to you then? You know, every single time I interact with you, it's a negative. So slowly over time, things do just progress to the point that you are alone.
Yeah.
Which then there's this whole guilt that you're just like, what in the world have I done that all of a sudden I can't have a normal conversation with somebody?
You're so right. And what you described is the actual process of what happens in our minds as we destroy everything. because it is. It's taking like a kernel of something somebody says. And if I'm honest with myself, it's I'm stressed or I'm tired or things aren't, you know, maybe the depression, anxiety, whatever is flaring up. But you just tack onto a kernel of something somebody says. And in your brain, it turns into something totally different because I don't feel like I'm insecure, right? Like, I mean, if I'm asking myself honestly, I'm like realizing like, okay, first I'm feeling mad because yeah. I'm like, what the hell? Why would this person say that? And like, that's person stupid yeah. or whatever. But if I look down, like, yeah, you're right. Like, it's like, oh, I react that way because it makes me feel horrible. Like it's tapping into some negative space that makes me want to lash out. And there's a lashing out if you're destroying, right? It's not like, oh, I'm lashing out and I'm just going to necessarily cry. It's like, I think the hardest part about destruction is when I'm stressed, especially susceptible to this, and then I like feel that feeling, I become a monster.
No, I completely get what you're saying. In the last few weeks, I have felt that way because I just have a lot of stuff going on and then I get sick and it's just like, I can't get sick. You know, I have so much going on. And then you come to realize you have to be able to create the boundaries that are needed for you to be well, but we're not good at that. I just don't think that a lot of people are. And even though you and I work in this space and we realize that we have to do that, that doesn't mean that we're not destroying others in our path of complete like stress and yeah. just trying to function. I think that's the hard piece for people.
It's so hard. It's so hard to slow down your place. It took me years to realize that my reactions to things were about not feeling safe or like feeling insecure, which is like tied to I hate myself, which is why I destroy everything follows I hate myself, you know, because I hate myself, therefore I will destroy everything. Because if I have nothing, that is better than maybe having something and then destroying that too, right? I don't know. There's just, I know that there's like something about that and on just feeling like so afraid. But it's really, really hard to figure it out.
That's where the vulnerability piece comes about, because once you understand what we mean by destroy, and that's the interesting thing, right? Destroy can mean so many things for people, and only you can say what that is for yourself, right?
Yeah.
Whether it's you lashing out, maybe it's you throwing something, you isolating yourself, the end result is that you have to look at your interactions and what you're doing and your behaviors to then figure out, dude, I'm actually doing this. And then
yeah.
being able to then say why. And the harder piece, I think, is the why, because it's about being vulnerable and looking back and saying, what's going on with me that I'm just destroying everything, right? That's the question.
Yeah.
Why?
Why do I do
what's
it?
What's happening to me?
Mm-hmm. And that destroying everything, I think it does seem like the why I do things is different when I'm lashing out emotionally versus when I'm lashing out physically. People always talk about emotional regulation, or we talk about emotions all the time and like trying to understand and learn about your emotions. So I know that there's a part of it where people are like, okay, when we ask people about feelings, you know, people are angry or they're sad or whatever. But behind all that, when you can teach people, or when we do it ourselves, like think about like, when I'm angry, what is that really about? And a lot of times it's about insecurity and it's about vulnerability and about fear. But it's different. There's a difference between why do I lash out emotionally versus what happens when I actually snap and do something physically destructive. Do you think there's a difference there between that, the why?
There is a difference. What it comes to mind is like the idea of coping skills, right? You may not know any other way to actually let all this crap out. So the kind of immediate reaction is just like, okay, I'm just going to throw this book, you know, and punch a wall, because that's a physical manifestation of whatever I'm feeling. And there's kind of a release that happens because you're letting something go, and the person may not be ready to understand that the underlying layer of that is all emotional.
Yeah.
You know, so there's that physical connection.
That's really important to talk about. and really emphasize that, because behind anger or physical aggression, which doesn't necessarily have to be like throwing something or punching a wall, we also scream at people.
Yes. Yeah.
And that's a very aggressive, angry response. You talked about, which I agree, that behind anger is frustration and feeling like in a corner, just being at your wit's end and feeling maybe trapped. And so when you do that screaming, or you punch the wall, or you do that thing, the thing that comes after anger is release. That's that pattern, I think, for destroying things like that. That's different than the way I destroy things emotionally.
For me, like, I feel a loss of control, where I'm mostly functioning in this place of, I always talk about, if you listen to other podcasts, like everything kind of running through the motions and like going through the day. For me, I'm very methodical in that way. So when things don't work out in the way that I've kind of set up, it really pushes me to my other boundaries. And I'm just like, what in the world? Why can't it function the way that I want it to function? And that's the loss of control that I feel. So that's when I get frustrated. I may get very short with people. And, you know, the anger piece, that's the frustration, the loss of control. And it's just like, why is this not working the way that I need it to work? Sure enough, people are, you know, part of that process. You're
fortunate enough to be in your path. We've all been there, you know?
It's hard, though. We all go through it.
I grew up experiencing some physical abuse. So, like, I don't like acting out physically. Like, I'm a runner. I'm not a fighter, right? I'm a runner. I protect myself by running. I am not a fighter. So my instinct is not to like attack or hit things. But man, recently I have thrown a remote control at the wall. I have screamed. I have used curse words. I feel like I'm a teenager again. These were things that I didn't do. So I realize after recurrences that you can have all kinds of control over your self-destruction and your desire to destroy things. But every time mental illnesses flares up again, it's kind of expected that you go back to that space. And all of a sudden, I felt like I was a teenager again.
Sometimes when we react, our first initial reaction is the most honest one.
Yeah, like the person inside me.
Yeah, you know, it's like that's just you as a person. So then there,
I don't like that
there
frame.
Is not you as a person. I mean, like you as a person in general. What I'm trying to get to is this idea that for me, I know that I can very easily get into this place of, if I'm in a kind of anxious space and more things are kind of tacked on that I can't process and take the time to process, then my initial reaction is going to be like, yo, back up. I need space. So there is a control there that I'm able to say, okay, I know I'm getting to this place. I need to like separate myself from whatever's happening to be able to get into a better kind of mood, attitude, whatever. But if I didn't do that, then my initial reaction would just be, you know, instantaneous, to go from 0 to 60 and be rude and short and just be like, you get out of my face.
Yeah.
Like, I don't have time for this.
Yeah.
So that's what I'm saying when it's an honest reaction.
I'm going to say that's my stressed me. Like, yeah, when flare-ups happen or like triggers, right? I was talking to somebody about like PTSD and triggers, because we've just been struggling, for example, with like deaths in the family. Mm-hmm. We've had deaths in community. We talk about like gun violence and some trauma and some deaths. And with PTSD, it's like there are only a few things that can knock me off my ground. So something will just remind me of an experience and I'm stressed out. I got too much work going on. I'm not having a good relationship with my partner. And, you know, there are only so many things before, yeah, like it's not who I am, but it's like all of those protective things have been stripped away. Yeah. So I don't have that anymore. So the only thing I have is the rage monster inside and he's just always right there.
Yeah.
There's nothing between you and me and that person. Like,
yeah.
And the hard thing I realized now that I'm like, okay, I've been to that space where I'm like, oh, I raged with everyone when I was younger and like I got better. And then I raged as an adult is that this is whack, right? But like sometimes as an adult, it feels so good to rage. I can't, like, this is something that's scaring me right now. Like, this is new where I'm like, I remember liking being an awful person because I don't know. I knew I forgot that. I knew I forgot that I liked it because I had to get better and to like not being self-destructive. But the moment I started being self-destructive again, I always also was like realizing how addictive it felt and how good it felt to release frustration and not have to be together all the time, or like also how good it felt to lash out at people. And I was like, oh, this is awful. This is like an awful side of being a rage monster. Does that make sense at all? Does it make me an awful human being?
No. It does not make you an awful human being. It makes you a human being.
Okay? I feel awful. I'm destroying everything.
But there is this idea, though, that you're talking about this feeling that you're having as an adult. I remember being 10, 11, and my mouth would always get me in trouble. Like, mm-hmm. It was all the time. So yeah. My parents would be like, you need to count to 10 before you say anything. And I remember just saying, like, count to 10, I ain't going to do anything, you know? And so every single time that I got into trouble was because I said something that I shouldn't have, you know? So later, now, of course, many years later, I think back and I'm like, should I really count to 10? And that is part of the process that you learn, and how you're saying, in kind of creating this balance between being this rage monster and just being human, because you have to let all that stuff out, because all that stuff out is honest.
Yeah. There is a difference. And the reason why I can laugh about being a rage monster now is because, I mean, I'm laughing about it. I know it's not funny, because there was a time where I was a rage monster or self-destructive, and it wasn't funny at all. It was just sad. Like, I really was alone, or I enjoyed being destructive and alone. And that was a sad, lonely place. And it was not funny. The only reason I can laugh now is because I'm like, okay, I'm on the other side. You know, I'm the flip side of my rage monster. And also, like, when I catch that I love it, I can at least be honest and be like, oh, that feels so good. But I can't be that person because that person's awful.
But go back for a minute where you're talking about being in this place where you did feel lonely. And what I see in my mind when you say that, and everybody has that little monster. Mm-hmm. It's not just you. I call it something else, you know.
What do you call it?
It's an expletive, so I won't say.
Come on.
You know, it's just being that a-hole, you know, that you're saying.
Okay,
it's
yeah.
That darker side that is just in your face, doesn't care, and sometimes it has to be there. It is a protective factor for me in many ways.
Yeah.
Because otherwise, I wouldn't be able to function. Now, does it hurt like hell when you're alone and you're struggling with all of this? Yes, of course it does, because nobody wants to be alone. So what does it take for us to get from this place of feeling like this monster is consistently there, and that's the first thing that people see, and then moving to a place where we're saying, I'm going to pop him in the closet for a while because I know better.
Yeah.
For me, it's better to pop him in the closet.
If being self-destructive is about insecurity and vulnerability, the reason why I like to be self-destructive, because ultimately it was a protective factor, which you said. So I always talk to people about how, like, I basically created a castle of one and I sat in it. And for a while, it was awesome because my castle was like freaking giant and the walls were thick and nobody was going to come inside and destroy it and destroy me. Cause I did not feel like I had any ounce left of strength to be destroyed. So I had to build that castle to protect myself and then sit in it by myself. And it took a while. Like, I really liked being alone I mean, I was around people, but I wasn't genuine or I wasn't honest. I certainly didn't have relationships. Like, I didn't like romantic relationships because, hell no, that's scary. Like, I am definitely not going there. So somebody can hurt me. In fact, I'm going to be a jerk to you before you could be a jerk to me. And I was so badass. I thought I was so strong and so awesome. And then I realized like I was so alone, and then eventually it got very lonely, and then I realized I was super fake. I don't know. And I just realized, man, like actually this thing that I created for myself was like pretty isolating and not genuine. And then I just had to think about it, like by being like, how do I start breaking down this castle? Like, is it one brick at a time? Do I build a moat, fill my moat with sand, like build a bridge? Who do I feel safe with? Who am I willing to let in my castle? Do I build a bigger castle with thinner walls? And it was a metaphor for me about like that process. And it probably took like 15 years. And like a 7-year period of like sexual sobriety where like I just was like, I'm literally not going to be in relationship with people like in a romantic way, because that was the only way to be healthy. But that's just me. But I had to go through extreme experiences like that to like reset myself and like really take time and figure that out.
We're older, you know, for somebody young. 15, 13.
Yeah.
The process that they may have to go through is very different, because as an adult, you have a lot more independence, right? You can make your own decisions. You can close yourself off. You can't, whatever. But when you're young and you have a family or people that you have to engage with, you have to connect with, it's much harder, I think.
I was the most alone and isolated when I was 12 to 27. I mean, teenagers are the best at being like, oh, I'm stone cold, you know?
But is that them destroying everything, or is that?
Oh, yeah. Just... Well, of course, that's what we're talking about, right? Like, I think, yeah, I think the capacity to destroy yourself and be all by yourself in that castle, you can be 8 and you can be 50 and do it.
Okay.
I don't think it's easier or harder at any period of your life, because it's about choices. It's about taking risks.
Is it though really about taking risks? I don't think so. It's about shying away from risks.
Obviously, you know, there's a limit. You could be like so self-destructive that your risk factor goes up. That's where addiction comes in, or where like interaction with the criminal justice system. Like, yeah, always be like, punch a wall, don't punch a person, and don't punch a cop for sure. You're like, that is the fastest way to get arrested, you know? I'm glad I was self-destructive as a young person, and that I kind of felt like I got it a little bit together as an adult, because now when I feel like I'm destructive as an adult, there's so much more risk factors at play. I got arrested before I was 18. Thank God, because that thing got expunged. Like, I was protected. But had I been 6 months older, that would have sucked. And when I was an adult, I was like, and I'd have to ask that question, like, have you ever been arrested? Oh my God. I think now, like, I am so grateful that I did horribly destructive things as a kid, because there was more forgiveness there. But now that I'm an adult, if I do destructive things.
What I'm saying is, when you are an adult, there are things in your life that could impact the way in which you are living in a totally different manner than when you're a kid.
Mm-hmm.
Kid, youth, teenager. If you do something when you're under the age of 18, certain things may not apply. But if you do it as an adult, you could lose your job. You could lose your marriage if you're married, or have a significant other, or have, if you have children, you may no longer be able to see your children. You know, there are other implications for how this destruction comes about and how it can impact your life. And I think in many ways, younger people, it's not the same type of situation. They don't experience the same scenarios, even though they can make the same types of decisions, whether that's like using drugs or something like that, destroying all the relationships. What ends up happening, I think, when you're younger is that if you are in this place of completely being and owning this rage monster, that kind of like you're talking about.
Yeah.
then you become an adult and that becomes your norm.
Yeah. I think it is very hard if I got stuck in that place where I loved being a rage monster and I loved being alone and I didn't care about people. I certainly work with a lot of people who become adults and love and stay in that space. And then you're trying to resolve these issues. And as an adult, it is harder because you have fewer relationships to lean on. You've had less time in life to think about, like, what does that mean going forward? To have friends as an adult is just harder to get. So yeah, it's, we talk to a lot of young people who are in this space. So I think that you're right to say that if you're young and you're feeling self-destructive, you know, now is the time to work through those things, because even though it's painful, at least the future is better without it than it is with it. And that's what we want, right? Because you and I, we're older and we look back at our lives and we're on the flip side. So we can see what our lives have been like with destruction and without.
When you get to the core of all these issues, it's about being able to really being honest with yourself and recognizing what you are doing to yourself. Nobody else is doing this. I mean, trauma and all these things can happen, but how you're reacting to it and what you're doing to protect yourself, negative and positive, those are things that you are doing. So if there's an opportunity there for you to learn better ways to deal with this, and I say need, but this need to just kind of get rid of all the stuff that we're carrying, then we have to find a better way to do it.
Yeah. Maybe that's a good place to end today. All right. So we're going to end there today, but this is probably a topic we'll keep talking about a ton. We're going to sign off. It's been some time. Look, friends and family, continue to fight in the open. We love you, self-destructive and all.
Don't let that rage monster win.
All right, all. Keep fighting in the open.
Thanks, guys.